dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 323. Oh, you're starting with me early. We've learned a lot about Josh and Dave right before the podcast started. But
double dragons.
Oh dear. Yeah, you do not want to be a fly on the wall here. So lots of good stories I'm sure we'll hear. A lot of guys here went to the Three Rivers Con this weekend. I didn't write down any news. I apologize for that. I'm sure stuff happened, but we'll get into that. Joining me tonight, or I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
I wanted to have that witty banter at the beginning, and I lost steam.
Happens to guys your age.
Thanks, Tim. You're fired. They're snickering.
He's acting like a dead man. He doesn't look at you, and it's not going to happen.
Like the dog.
Yeah.
Yelling at me if I don't look at you. Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, I guess we'll start with the show. I know Adam and Josh went today. Did you go, Dave?
I didn't go.
Dave, Pat didn't.
Nah. I wanted to go. I had stuff come up, though.
Oh, sorry.
Adventure.
I got to go Sunday morning, but you guys were there for much longer and much more productive than me. I was just in and out.
I went last year, but Mark Wade wasn't there, so it was
this year
on a Sunday.
Okay. Oh, last year he wasn't.
Last year on a Sunday,
okay.
He wasn't there. So
he was just there on the Saturday.
Yeah, apparently. So
he didn't know that.
I didn't know that unless he left early on Sunday.
You wanted to go get your Archies signed.
I did. I brought Archie number one.
Sorry, Dave.
It's okay. I'm over.
I got my Archie. Mark's not here, man.
Yeah, I was there early on Sunday, and a lot of people weren't there yet.
You didn't get to see Ed Pisker?
I did not. No, he wasn't there. Vito came in right as I was leaving.
Was he only there on Saturday, or was he supposed to be there on Sunday?
Who, Pisker?
Yeah.
He was there both days.
Was he there both?
But he posted he was only going to be there 1 to 4 both days.
Okay.
In hindsight, I wish I would have bought that Treasury edition from him.
Yeah.
Had it signed.
He had quite a few sitting there to sell.
Did you see they posted a photo of you, Josh?
That's what someone said. But
the con.
When did they take that?
That's what Lytle told me earlier today, yeah. But I didn't look. Yeah. Was it a bad photo? Was my wife in the photo?
No, it was just you, I think, looking through a box of.
Oh, okay.
It was fine.
Box of books.
It wasn't embarrassing or anything.
Josh is.
Straight out, all he gets it.
You're giving some furry a hand job in the corner. They took a picture.
What?
So I'm in the picture too.
Yeah, same. You're in the picture too. Well played.
Wow. That's why he's the best in the business.
Well, counter shot.
Yeah, but it was fun. It's a lot of the same kind of thing. You know, walking around, but it's fun to walk around and meet some of these people, mm-hmm. especially the local artists and stuff like that. And every once in a while, they get some new people. I do wish, of all the things I think they need to do, it's just kind of invest into a good name, like not just a local, like somebody outside of the area. I think they can.
The people that are there, though, even though like a lot of them are there every year, they're good. Like it's, you know, they do good work.
Yeah. Just somebody new, not necessarily. I used the wrong word. Good name,
but no, like they do need a more prominent name sometimes to it brings people in.
And I think it helped with having Mark Wade, mm-hmm. that one, because that was kind of exciting to get somebody else. But the local people that show up are always really nice.
Great,
it's a fun time.
I always feel super bad though, like when you walk around, there's some booths where like. Tons of people at, and then others where it's like, you can tell like there's no one that's been at this booth for hours, and you were just looking out into the sea of people hoping that someone will stop by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you feel obligated to buy something when you get up there, and you're just like,
What?
Colin's laughing at their misery now. But it is. It's a nice small local con. I mean, it's nothing, you know, crazy exciting, but it's something to do and something to look forward to every year. And I've enjoyed it. What a good, better cosplayers I thought this year, and especially from Steel City Con, they had a lot of good people dressing up as stuff, putting a lot of work into their costumes and you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't really see any cosplayers.
You didn't see any?
No. A few over. Jeff Zote is the photographer that was there.
Yeah.
He's
a customer, frequent, but enough that I know him. So, but yeah, it was just the number of people I knew. It was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Like Brian and Damon had their booth up.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, I stopped by the Valiant booth. It's, you know, Action Lab.
Dynamite had a booth there.
Yeah, we stopped in
Chicago. Dynamite?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They did, because I meant to stop.
Oh, yeah, there, yeah, because they had some of the covers, yeah.
Amy Chu was up there. I meant to stop, and I forgot all about her. I was looking for her table, and I didn't see it, and I didn't think she was at the Dynamite table. I didn't go to the Dynamite table, because I don't normally read anything Dynamite, so.
You're saying it wrong. It's Dynamite.
Dynamite.
I wish some of the...
Next week. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Some, like, last year we also had a Valiant creator there. I wish we had more of that.
Rafer Roberts.
I've met
the
him.
The table was really nice. The Valiant table was really nice. I thought that was kind of cool.
I wish I had gotten a sketch from him last year.
Yeah.
Had him do, whatever the... What's the fish?
Davy the Mackerel.
Davy the Mackerel.
Yeah, that'd
be
good.
At the time everybody was having him draw, what
Deadpool?
What was the little clone's name?
Gub Gub.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. But yeah. What else, Colin? What else should we talk about here? That's the Pittsburgh Comics Podcast.
Stuff. So let's see. We talked about DC shenanigans last week.
Oh, yeah.
Just looking over there, I realized we only have one of the Michael Cho left, so we can, best we can make one set.
Oh.
It's okay.
Can you get more?
Yeah.
You don't have to make the all.
How have those been moving?
Really well.
Still, yeah.
I think you have one of them.
Really well, yeah.
I couldn't tell, because it looked like there's still a bunch there. But.
Well, disregard the bottom shelf, because those were overages they sent me. That's why I segregated them. So overall... Remember, the Bermejos were damaged, so they weren't there for the midnight release. Mm. So, you know, one all red, one show. I don't think there's 10 of any of the other covers. And I ordered a ridiculous amount.
So you're in the black on those?
Oh, yeah. You're in the black after midnight. Yeah. No, that was good.
Even including your reorders?
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. No, we did good. We did good. I have no complaints about Action 1000. Josh is in trouble.
I'm just checking something.
You offended him.
I did. Yeah, what else is
new? He was like, I'm leaving. I'm getting
Yeah, I can't think of any news. Nothing I remember that was.
Did you talk about, I don't remember when you sent that to us, but the West Coast Avengers. Did you talk about that last week?
No, that was new, yeah.
I mentioned that last week.
That was
did you? Oh, did it just, yeah.
I saw it the next day. There's going to be a new West Coast
Avengers. Oh, okay, yeah. I saw that image and just went, I mean, there's market for those characters, and I agree putting them all in one team is a better way to do it.
I don't know if their way this
the logo no
yeah,
this like style logo. Is yeah. the way they still want to be going. Yeah. Like, is it doing that well for you that you know?
Tim, it's not dark. You can't leave.
Yeah, that's how. It works. Huh?
Uh oh.
If you turn the light off,
he took you seriously. He's like,
I'll go hang out in the kids section for a while.
There you go. See you
later.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
One good bit of news, the contractor was in, and construction will start on June 4th. So, we're getting there. It's not that far away.
So...
Where are your hard hats?
What's he expecting?
He said not long. It shouldn't take long. The wall should go up pretty quick, and then just the bricks.
So, does he have to, like, tear down the whole wall right there and rebuild the whole thing?
Yeah. Is he going to fix your outlet here?
Yeah, he's going to install a bunch of outlets, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. I asked him, I said, I want extra outlets back here, and then I want an outlet above the TV. And then we'll move that shelf over there and move, because the...
Above the TV.
Yeah, above the TV. And then the, because the DVD player is going to go up there now, and that way the TV is up there with less cords.
Where does your internet come in?
Internet comes in right there.
Okay, so you can reroute that over here too, then.
What do you mean?
I'm assuming you're just going to move the whole cable modem over here.
The cable modem is. It's just right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We actually, that blue cord we have going that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. I did that so, well, that, I don't, I, yeah.
It's called a Cat 5.
There you go.
Oh.
Blue cord. Blue cord.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I like that it blended right in with the wall, and you can't
That's
really
why I
see
it. You got it because it was blue.
Well, I got it because it was 100 feet.
Oh, speaking of which.
It could have been like a TV cable waiting.
The wall blue, or are you going to go with accent wall over here?
Tie-dye.
I assumed blue. I hadn't really thought about changing the color of the wall. I have paint, but I mean, they'll need to get more, but they can match.
Okay, that's
yeah, no. It's in the bathroom. You've seen it a million times. It's in the bathroom. Well, you probably haven't gone to the bathroom a million times, but you know what I mean.
I think in my life, more
than that. But not here. Yeah, but there's two cans in the bathroom where I had done some touch.
About that. Put a number to it.
Where I had done some touching up.
So. We should have been tallying all this stuff.
So you were touching up in the bathroom?
No, I was touching up the walls, but I kept the can
What's
in the bathroom.
What's up and what are you touching?
The can.
Cat 5. I don't have much.
But so I'm excited. I really hope it finishes before I go on vacation. Otherwise, we'll have to, because I want to have a big, I want to do like, we'll do like the soft reopening on Wednesday, and then I want to have a party that Saturday. So I'm hoping it doesn't fall on the week I,
Think it will.
Yeah, it probably will.
Most contractors don't get done on time, so.
No, but we're leaving like 3 weeks after start, so. I mean, the vacation was planned long ago, but
if they start on the 4th.
We're leaving on the 20th. We're leaving on the 30th. So.
Okay. Yeah, so June 9th would be that Saturday, but even if it takes 2 weeks.
Right, but I didn't want to have the party on the 23rd, so that'd be 19 days. That I don't know if it is feasible. I was really hoping they'd be done, in theory, like on the 15th. And then I would have the weekend to get everything moved, especially like we'd be closed. The idea is to be closed Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
Move everything over, check in the order still, but be closed those 2 days, get everything moved, and then on Wednesday when I open, have the new look. That's the idea. And I want to do it kind of like a, you know, a home remodeling thing.
Yeah.
You know.
He's going to move that box.
Exactly, if I could figure out a way to do that, but I got to ask him, but hopefully I'll be able to have Dave come in, and who does the TV show, and like film it before we move stuff, and then film it after.
Yeah. This Dave's going to get the pontiff to come in and bless the place.
Yeah, so I think we're actually
Archbishop.
Nice.
Oh, I thought you were going to go for the Pope. Wow.
Yeah.
He only has so much connection here. Yeah.
So no, but I just want to do one of those, you know, because they always do the here's what it looked like before, here's what, so I want to do that. It mostly, you know, just on the areas that.
Yeah.
We're changing.
It's pretty much the whole thing.
Well, it's the whole front of the store.
Yeah.
Like, the back isn't, but a lot of the front is. On both sides. So, that's cool. I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, so I don't know if it's going to time right, which would really kind of suck if it doesn't. Because then I wouldn't be able to do it until the 14th to have the grand reopening of July. And, of course, watch him finish when I'm not here. Well, no, he's going to want the money, so. Yeah. Oh, well. We'll figure it out. I'm good at that. So, Twitter, we did get a couple questions on Twitter. Well, we'll start with James sent me one, actually, in writing that I thought was really good. But it is...
Well, how did everybody else send it to you?
Well, they sent it via tweet.
He sent
an email.
He wrote a letter.
Okay, he said, are you concerned that DC is shuffling creative teams on books that have been critically successful, or are you looking forward to bigger name creators taking over books that could use a sales boost? For me, I mean, I'm disappointed Tomasi is leaving Superman, but that was kind of in the cards when they got their big fish. It was nice to see that they announced a 12-issue maxi series of him doing the adventures of the Super Sons. So that made me happy that he's still going to be on those characters. Venditti's leaving Green Lantern.
And the book's ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
So that's okay. He said, he's done 70 issues, so he thought 50 was a good number to leave on. I can't complain about that. And I don't know if he's a big name. I mean, he's been very good on it. People have been happy with it. But
yeah. He's become a bigger name.
Yeah. Well, that might be a critical success one, because it's funny. I know him because when years ago, Tom Shelf used to do a sale every year, and he was the guy that shipped my order from Top Shelf. And I had emails back and forth with him about shipping me the stuff.
Okay.
So it's just so funny when all of a sudden he started making a name. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy was in the shipping department at Top Shelf Comics. You know, just weird. Or not shipping department, but that's what he handled. Saying. So it was just kind of funny. Because he did Surrogates, I believe, was in that they made into that movie with Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But so it's just kind of funny that, you know, now it's like, oh, you know, I knew him when. Yeah.
So get him here to the store.
Yeah, so what else is ending that... What other creative changes? I mean,
Batwoman is ending.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the same time.
I'm kind of surprised that made it as far as it did. So, not in
it's
a bad
telling,
way.
It's been
just
telling one story.
Okay.
Throughout the whole thing. So.
I know they, like... When did they drop the Rebirth title above the books? Hmm. Like, it's been a few months.
Yeah.
It seems like this is actually the end of, like, Rebirth and the beginning of something new. Like, this more than that.
They announced a new Supergirl book. It's going to be like
that sounded super... really good. Who's had good creative team on it.
Crazy Bank is always. I'll think of it eventually.
I saw Jimmy Palmiotti's, and they're doing a Harley team up with something. Gosh, I should really write this stuff down. But he's got a new project.
I did hear that Harley
with that. Honestly. Yeah, I don't remember what it was. I apologize. Google it. Yeah, but I mean, stuff ending, stuff. It's I don't mind that. I don't mind new creators on, because I think a new creative will often give a boost. And sometimes books are doing fine. Like, Hal Jordan was doing fine, but it wasn't doing much. You know, it wasn't John's numbers.
I think Green Lantern needs a bump, and if it goes in the direction where the rumors are saying, I think that will help it.
Yeah, so if we're getting a new number one for a valid reason, like they're completely shaking up the core or whatever, that's okay. I don't mind that, where Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns might not.
Supergirl will be from Mark and Draco and Kevin Maguire.
Okay, that'll work. Look up Jimmy Palmiotti for whatever his recent thing was.
And you don't want things to get stale. I mean, we always bust on Dan Slott for his Spider-Man run. And that's, you know, it's not
on him.
But
after a while,
go into it, hey, I have a couple stories I want to tell.
New Looney Tunes crossover series?
That could be.
Well, and as I said, that's why I had a big issue with Brian Michael Bendis on Avengers for so long.
Yeah,
there was
Lex Luthor, Porky Pig.
I think that hurt with other things that he did in the future. Because I think people were just kind of tired of
Catwoman and Tweety and Sylvester.
Yes, that looked really
Harley
good.
Harley Quinn and Gossamer.
Yep.
Joker and Daffy Duck. Lex Luthor and Porky Pig.
Huh, none of those seem to be the one I was thinking of. The one, I forget who's writing the one with Gossamer. It was somebody.
Gail Simone's writing the Catwoman one.
Okay. That cover was fantastic.
Yeah,
Harley
Quinn and Gossamer.
That's what I thought, because
Catwoman's Tweety.
Tommy Audie.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's doing
which
one?
The Harley Quinn and Gossamer.
Oh, the Harley one. Okay. That makes sense then. Okay, I knew he was doing something.
Palmiotti and Amin O'Connor are doing that. The Joker Daffy Duck is Scott Lobdell. Art by Brett Booth, Norm Rutland.
Yeah, that is a disturbing
I love
cover.
That cover.
Yeah.
That is.
Lex Porky, Mark Russell.
There we go.
Art by Brad Walker and Andrew Hennessy.
Who's doing that? Is that a Ben Oliver? Who did that cover?
Ben Oliver.
Okay.
By John Loder.
Did Mark Russell do a
That's a backup story.
Before?
No, cover by.
I know he did the Hanna-Barbera. Okay. Flintstones, Booster Gold.
Oh, yeah.
Did he do a Looney Tunes one before? Is this a new one?
I'm not sure.
Not
and remember. The art on the Gail Simone Catwoman is Inaki Miranda.
But look at that. That cover is fantastic.
Yeah, it's not. I love how fat they made Sylvester.
That's a Tony Daniel?
No. Emmanuel Lupicino.
Okay.
The bar on those Looney Tunes books went up big time.
Oh, yeah, with the Tom King. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
But the Tom King one was the only one that was really good. The other ones were just kind of like mediocre last time around.
I like the
Booster. Lobo one, too.
No, you're talking about the Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Lobo,
I like the Legion Bugs Bunny one. I thought that one was
the what one?
The Legion the superheroes.
Yeah,
Bugs Bunny.
That one's all right. Yeah.
I thought that one was fun. The only thing I didn't like about that is they told, like, with the backup, they did, like, a continuation off of it, but as them now drawn as Looney Tunes, more Looney Tunes style.
Yeah.
I thought that was weird.
I think they're
but the main story
was. That was what they did with the other ones, too.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But overall, Change is good. You know, you never know when we'll find the next thing we like even more.
I want to move out of the way.
I know, right?
I'm not Adam.
What's going on out there?
I'm Adam.
Right, well, I can't stop a car.
Oh, yeah, I know. No,
okay, a couple more questions. These are coming from Twitter. Eric asks, what are your feelings on the Max? I can't help you there. The Max came out. I wasn't really reading. I've read probably the first issue. But well after the fact. But I did watch it on MTV and couldn't make heads or tails of it. So,
it's pretty.
I've never read the whole thing.
I always thought the art
was pretty. Oh, yeah, the Sam Keith art is fantastic. But I never made heads or tails of it, so I'm not a good...
Yeah, I think I bought the first, second issue when it came out, and I couldn't make... Didn't get it either. And then it was, like, really big on MTV, that series.
Yeah,
but
I kind of like the Cordless podcast. We're always dealing with that cord moving it around and stuff.
Technology. Well, cool. So should I cancel that order then for the cord?
Nah, just get it.
Because the Radio Shack batteries aren't going to last me forever.
And neither do Radio Shacks. So.
Well, that's what I mean.
No.
Yeah.
So anybody else that's read the Max?
No.
Well, I'm sorry.
The podcast.
We have failed you.
Oh.
And then Elias asks, I feel as if tie-ins and multiple other books take away from being able to read big event books from the big two companies. What are your thoughts? Do you think things should be simpler so readers can get a better feel of the story? I get what the publishers are doing. They're like, this is getting a lot of eyes. Let's tie this in so maybe we'll boost sales on Captain America or Teen Titans or whatever it is that's tying in. I think stores probably order a little bit, thinking they'll be, you know, if I'm selling 75 copies of the event but only 12 copies of this book, I need to get some more in because there might be some trickle over and people will, you know, want that tie-in. But more often than not, you don't really see that.
They always say, like, you can read, you don't have to read the...
Sometimes Marvel, more often than not, puts a key event in an off book. That's maddening.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't think of DC doing it in quite a while. They have in the past, but...
Well, Metal just had their tie-ins. It went into Green Lantern. It went into Justice League. It went into Titans, Green Arrow, Nightwing.
Yeah,
he didn't just a little bit, but it was flavor. No, but it did. That's all I mean.
With the Metal... Right. Yeah, you're right.
Like, Batman Lost... I feel if you didn't read that,
not so much that.
Metal
that
would
but that was
not no, no. But I mean,
one
I mean tying
issue,
into
though.
Regular books.
Okay, yeah.
So I get, yeah, I completely understand. I don't care for it unless it's big, like
Forever Evil did it a little bit.
Yes and no. It was basically Forever Evil, and then Justice League.
It was
and Justice League was a one
Justice
shot
League
for
book.
Each of the bad guys.
Yeah,
that's how that one worked.
Well, what was the one where, because it was JLA and it had Stargirl and
no,
Martian Manhunter?
Okay, so JLA was Stargirl trying to find the Justice League.
Oh, okay, I forgot about that.
Because they were whatever.
Yeah.
Then one of them, Firestorm, was being used as a bomb. And then Justice League was about what was going on with
the bad guys.
The bad guys, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was mainly their story.
But, like, I think a good way when they did it was, like, Blackest Night, which tied in with the Green Lantern books, which made sense because it was a Blackest Night book.
Right.
Or, I mean, it was a Green Lantern story. Yeah, like Secret Empire went through all sorts of stuff, and a lot of it was very tangential.
I wish Marvel would do that, because I wish they would, because I feel like DC does like self-contained events. So like, if it's a Batman event, it usually stays within the Batman books. Well, this Metal didn't necessarily. It went into Justice League and Flash,
but it wasn't. It was just little stories.
Just for one book. So I thought they did a better job with that, even when they did it. But I like it better when they're just like, if we're focusing on Justice League, like Forever Evil. Forever Evil was a Justice League event. Then the two Justice League books are the tie-in books.
Yeah.
I just think that's a better way of doing
it. Well, and it all depends on what the event is, too. If it's like Civil War, where essentially you are shutting down the Marvel Universe to tell this story, you're kind of stuck having to have it tie in.
Yeah.
But when there's a delay, it screws everything up.
I kind of got it with Civil War, but I think Marvel handled Civil War as an event better. Then they not
certainly
they had some delays,
then, you know, some
but
of the ones.
What they did, a lot of their stories, their books were all kind of leading into the events of Civil War. So something would happen, like Spider-Man was in a battle and Tony Stark met with him after like one battle with Amazing Spider-Man. He was like, this is what's going to happen, it's coming up.
Yeah.
And like they kept doing stuff like that into the books, and then Civil War kind of took over for what, half a year? And it was just their big event, so like it all worked out. And if you have something like too big, it kind of makes sense that it's going to take, you know, it's going to show up somewhere in a book because it's a shared universe.
Yeah, but then if you look at like AVX, it seemed like every book had an AVX banner on it, but it's like one panel on one page tangentially had something to do with it.
It's the
like,
book, I think.
But yeah, I think they have the ability to do it, but I feel like they've just been very sloppy lately when they decide to do it, or they just, they're like, whatever, they'll buy it. And they, if we put the event on top of it, banner on top of it, they'll think it's part of the event and buy it any either way. And I feel like that's kind of their plan. But when they, if they would focus on trying to, you know, dot every I and cross every T, like when they're doing this, I feel like they can make a stronger event that when you're reading the other issues. Because when you were reading Amazing Spider-Man and he did the reveal and, you know, all this, it was like, this was a big deal. Yeah. Like Spider-Man, this was happening in Spider-Man, and this was happening in New Warriors, and this was happening in this, like in Captain America. And it felt like you were, something bigger was going on. Now they just throw it on there and it's like AVX. You know, like AVX, it just happens
really,
and we get some weird issue with it. Yeah. And it just is like a throwaway, and they're just like, well, it had the banner on it, so you'll buy it.
Yeah.
But are you going to stop reading the book because of it? Probably a lot of people not.
That's what they did during Crisis on Infinite Earths. They would
the
just
red
have
sky.
Like, just the red sky stuff, you know, like a scene with the red sky, so it tied in. And,
you know, see, to me, that's cheap. You know, and like, Deadpool is notorious for that. That's part of the reason why I stopped reading Deadpool. It's either it tied into an event in one panel, or it was an $8 book.
Yeah.
You know, they're certainly, if the character is essential to the event story, yeah, it should tie in.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be silly to have, you know, a Batman event, but the Batman book not tie into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like recently, I feel like they should be listening to DC and just watching what they're doing. Because I feel like they're, when they do bring something out, they're actually focusing on, you know, what, you know, they don't care so much about, like, everything going on. They play with the toys that they have in the book that they have and try to focus on one good story at a time instead of just saying we can have something bigger or we can tie everything into this and get money for every little title. And, you know, like, that's why even with Metal, Batman didn't cross over with Metal. You know, the Batman book itself, it's like everything kind of is kind of by itself, but if it needs to be, it can tie in, and it shows that nobody really cares that much.
Well, but
as
that's
much as, like, companies, I think that we did.
But that's because they DC changed the way they tell stories overall, which I think was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you can tell,
Mr. Miracle is a good example of
that. Yeah, I mean, you know, this story took place, we're not going to say it, you know, we know it took place after metal because it referenced events that happened in metal, but when doesn't really matter. So Batman can be doing this.
They could set a timeline, but you don't have to. Because I feel like one of the things that we were complaining about, like years ago with Marvel, was that they weren't sticking to a good timeline, and this was happening when this and that. It's because they made it into a thing that you had to follow.
Yeah.
If they didn't make it into a thing that everybody had to follow and it mattered, then nobody would care. And I think we're seeing that now with DC, where we'll get Mr. Miracle, and we will, we're reading it for how fun of a story it is, not necessarily, well, I wonder if this ties into how Superman, you know, I wonder what Superman's doing at the time here. Yeah. Nobody cares. They're just wanting a good story. Yeah. So. But, oh well. Oh well, Colin, what can you do? What can you do? What can you do, Colin?
Colin's on the board. He could do lots.
No. It's kind of funny. There's some
someone killed.
Not some board stuff, but some member stuff, you know, asking, what is the board doing this? What is the board doing this? It's like, what power, magical powers do you think we have?
You're not wizard?
There's a case where there's a convention.
You're a wizard, Colin.
You're a wizard, Colin.
Well, there's a convention.
We're a little late with your acceptance to Hogwarts.
There's a convention down in Dallas that moved their date a week, and now it lands on Free Comic Book Day. And they're like, what is the board going to do about this? Like, what do you want us to do? We contact them. They're like, oh, they didn't realize. They're more pop culture, not paying attention to the comic stuff. But they're like, we can't just move a week. It doesn't work that way. You know, we're in a convention space. You know, contracts are signed, all this stuff. You know, but the guys who have stores down there, the one guy is just like, oh, you got, well, you, what are you going to do? You know, da, da, da. You're duly elected. You should handle this. It's like, what?
I hate to know what kind of letters he writes his congress people.
Yeah, right. It's one of those guys.
So. That's fun. That's fun stuff. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot going on.
Has being a board member been?
We really haven't done anything yet. Just little things, you know, little. We need to vote on this.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, well, it's not. We don't have, like, you know, anything.
Back checks and things like
that. A lot of things, because, you know, you got to figure that started in February, but a lot of stuff.
Do you know how long it takes to get a blue ribbon panel together?
Was gearing up for, you know, most stores were gearing up for Free Comic Book Day, and, you know, so now we're gonna dig into stuff. We're gonna have
sit back and nod for a while.
We're gonna have a conference call coming up in a little bit, just about, you know, what we want to do, what we want to try to accomplish.
Your manifesto.
I'm gonna bring up there's like I said, there's the one big thing is I want to bring up my idea just for some people that the retailers that they can talk to, that the publishers can talk to freely, you know. So we'll see. Who knows? They probably, I don't know. I just at least want to float it out there because I think some problems could be solved before they become problems, you know, before they even happen. So
that all depends on our.
Ah, run!
That all depends on.
Got the vibranium panels already coming.
They just bounce off of them.
Yeah.
He bought the vibranium on eBay, so it's fine.
Just foil.
No, it was on Let It Go, actually.
Authentic vibranium.
From Mr. Claw.
Mr. Claw.
From CLAW.
But yeah, so we'll see. Part of the problem is for me is I'm, you know, A, new to this, B, not elected. So it's like I'm not out there banging the table. I'm kind of, how does this... How does this work?
That's how it gets done in politics.
Where's the hole?
Now we know why you sought election.
Ba-dum-bum. He's getting it together.
What do you do to the chair?
Dave.
Do we have more questions?
No, that was it. That was it for the questions. Well, I was going to say, what'd you read?
What if I have questions?
He's like, I'm wondering too. I didn't... What'd you read, Dave?
Okay. I read series from Image. Flavor.
I read that.
Flavor. Flav.
Yeah. And the whole time you went, boy.
Boy, yep. That's what I said. That's all I got from it. It was good.
This it was good.
I liked
it. Yeah, it was really good. This takes place in a walled city.
Well, so you don't know that, like, at first. But so it's this town that seems to, like,
something
the city
on
that revolves around people being chefs, it seems. Like, everybody is, like, obsessed with, there's, like, food is power
here
at Crazy City. Whatever it's called.
It's like the kingdom in Mario.
Yes.
And the main character is this girl named, teenager named Zoo, X-O-O.
Yep.
And she's an unregistered chef.
You got to be registered?
Registered. I'm telling you, cooking serious in this place.
Yeah, and she has some problems at home. Her parents are sick, and she hasn't gone to school in 6 months.
Yeah.
And her,
she's mainly trying to keep, like, her family together,
and her uncle
their restaurant or whatever together. And
yeah. And her uncle comes to be the caretaker of the family to help her. Mm-hmm. She's running a restaurant out of her house or something. And then it gets mysterious with this kid who throws these hot peppers at her at the beginning, and he's taken into custody by whoever's in charge. Mm-hmm. And he's
those peppers are serious.
Yeah.
There's some serious peppers.
Because, yeah.
The beginning of the book, the story, they're trying to get, this girl is trying to get these, like, special truffles.
Yeah.
That if she has them, they only grow, like, every 100 years, and, like, they're delivering them, and if she gets them, it'll help save her family's restaurant and everything, and help her family, and that's what she's trying to do, is just keep everybody together without changing anything. And at the same time, her uncle was coming in, and he is... he was basically summoned by their government. He came out.
It's all through the state.
And this like social worker talks to him and says, this girl needs help. Her family and this. Otherwise, we're gonna have to take her away and split them all up. Put the parents into some sort of hospice because they're badly ill. And I thought hospice was a bit much because I didn't think they were like that ill. Like, usually that's, like, life kind of thing. They were just in wheelchairs and
they're really
seemed to be going pretty well besides being in a wheelchair. So I thought a hospice was a little extreme. But they bring in the uncle, and the uncle doesn't seem to really want to be there. He seems more like, well, if I have to come in, and, her father's brother. And the social worker's like, well, you'll be paid for this, you'll get a check for this. He's like, oh, money. So you can kind of see where this guy is, kind of. And, but when they're trying to get the girl is trying to get the truffles, that's when other kid who went to school with her before she was, like, rejected out of the school or whatever, threw these hot chopped hot peppers at her, which I guess are, like, the strongest peppers in the world that too many in your eyes will actually probably kill you if it's not treated right away. The guards, they see that, and they take him into custody. And you don't see him for a while throughout the entire story. And then they sum up, that the uncle's going to be living with this girl and helping take care of her, and then he figures out that she's actually been cooking for them, and that if he's going to live there, he's going to do dishes and stuff like that. So the girl's kind of setting up how it's going to work if he is going to be there, and she doesn't really want him there because she doesn't want all the change. She just wants to live with her family. And then we get to the end of the story where we learn that this city is actually kind of walled off, kind of Attack on Titan style, that it's just... everything around this city is just woods, and it looks like these giant statues or something around in the distance. I guess they were statues, and it's not really Attack on Titan. But they bring this kid up through the peppers up to the wall, and they he's, you know, surprised he's up there, and he's like, you know, just, you know, I've learned my lesson, just let me go. He's yeah. like, that's not going to happen. And
I think he's just going to arrest him or something.
Yeah, they're just going to arrest him, and they actually, he's like, you're a sacrifice. And then this monster from beyond the wall grabs him and pulls him
It looks like the smoke monster from Lost or something.
Yeah, something like that. But it was a very, it was saying that it was, like, I know Tim put this in my folder, and he was like, you might like this. I was like, I'll give it a try. And it was good. So good job, Tim. But on the description of it, because we have the description tags around here, it said it was very Hayao Miyazaki style, like Studio Ghibli style.
Yeah. Well, the art is really nice.
I didn't see it as that. I did see it as a very manga-like comic, mm-hmm. more manga than that. I almost saw it like a Naruto or something like that. Mm-hmm. That kind of a story. Not necessarily a Miyazaki-type story, mm-hmm. but all in all, it was still good. It was just really decent. It was a good intro into this. I want to see what this world is about. Like, it's so obsessed with cooking and food. I guess the whole city is obsessed with cooking, but I don't know how a city functions on just having a bunch of restaurants.
Yeah, they didn't get much into how everything works.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mostly focused on the characters.
And then a little bit of showing us there's something weird going on behind.
But, but that was really intriguing. Yeah. The art's really nice. The artist didn't take any shortcuts at all as far as backgrounds, and there's like something going on in the background, you know, of every panel.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really nice. It was really good. Also, I'm curious too if this is a city that's like in a walled area.
Yeah.
How did a train come in? Where'd the train come from?
Right.
So were there other walled off cities somewhere?
That's a good point.
And
yeah.
then they kind of just it was kind of confusing. Yeah. And that much. In a good way. I'm wanting to know more about what this place is and what this book is about. So, yeah, it was really good.
It was good. Next, new series from Aftershock, A Walk Through Hell.
I tried to read it. The first couple pages just threw me so off.
It did me, too.
It's a couple walking a baby in a mall, and all of a sudden somebody walks up and shoots them. And you're just like,
Garth Ennis?
Yeah.
This is Garth Ennis.
I love Garth, but I was just, and I just never went back to it. I couldn't figure it out.
That really threw me off too. I read it through once, and then I read it again to see if I could understand what was going on. But I understood what was going on. It's a really, you know, brutal gun violence at the beginning, which isn't really shown in the book. You know, there's a lot of horrible stuff going on, but a lot of it goes on off camera or in the background or something. But yeah, once I got through that, but they get to, there's a warehouse, two agents went into this warehouse in Long Beach, California, and they haven't come out, and they send a tactical squad in to get them, and then the tactical squad comes out, because they're just like so scared after being in there, they have this feeling of dread, and then they're all sitting in the armored vehicle together. And they pull the guns on each other, and they don't show that.
Okay.
And then, it just ends with these two agents, Shaw and McGregor, going into the warehouse.
Okay.
So you really,
hence the name.
Yeah. So you really don't know what's really going on yet. But yeah, it did throw me off, like you said, at the opening scenes. Next. Captain America 703.
Yeah, I read that.
I've liked the story so far. You read the last issue, Adam, too?
Yeah, it's different. It's a very different Captain America story without Captain America.
Yeah, well, it takes place in 2314, and Captain America's great-great-grandson, Jack, he's discovered the super soldier serum is being administered as a vaccine to people, but it is turning the country's citizens into sleeper agents of the Kree Empire. And he's trying to, and his kid's sick. His Steve Rogers is sick, and he's trying to find a cure for him. So now he's wanted by the government because he found out their secret. and he goes into this historian's secret club where people are free to speak, and everybody thinks he's a madman because he told everybody what he thinks is going on. And someone tells an even like greater crazy guy in there tells him that Captain America is still alive, even though he had like a fight in Washington, D.C., battle with the Red Skull over the Cosmic Cube years ago. And so he has to find Captain America. And it ends with a good cliffhanger.
Yeah, it does. It was really good. Just a very different, you know, Captain America story with starring like an answer, or you know, his whatever great grand whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, the cliffhanger was really good. What was the other thing about it? Oh, I really like his because he's this historian, but these historians have like these time lenses. Like a monocle
that
actually can like loop back time and stuff like that. Actually, and that's why they thought he was crazy.
Yeah, and he's done that like so many times. So
much done that it's actually
plays with your mind,
messed with his mind, and but yeah, it's interesting. That's his last story, isn't it? This is gonna be Mark's last one.
Yeah, I don't know. There's must be no more than an issue or two left.
Yeah,
until the new series starts.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, I'll mention Gideon Falls. Is anybody reading that?
I am. I didn't read this one yet.
I am reading it, and I read it.
Okay. Not really sure what's going on in this series.
It's good. This issue was a bit slow. Like, the previous two issues, a lot kind of happened. This one, it was more so just a lot of, like, conversations.
A lot of conversations. Father Fred is trying to write his sermon for his first mass, and he meets he kind of stumbles through, and he meets a lot of weird people after a church. And what's the guy's name? Norton?
Yes, I believe so.
I thought he had a different. It was just me, but I thought he had a different name in like the first issue. Okay, he booby traps his apartment because people are stealing stuff. Someone broke in, so he's stealing all his junk that he's been collecting. And then his psychiatrist, Dr. Zhu, comes and says she's seeing visions of the Black Barn also, like he's been seeing, and Father Fred saw too.
She's confident it's not a dream, but then she thinks maybe it's a shared psychosis and wants to check him into the hospital. It was good. And I said the series has been good. This issue was just a bit slower than the other two, but it's building up to something good.
It's been real good. Like the art's also
fantastic. Yeah,
very creative and panel designs, page designs too. And lastly, I'll mention Star Wars, Poe Dameron. Number 27. This is taking place right after Episode 8, The Last Jedi, with all of them on the Millennium Falcon. And they're just like getting to know each other. Finn, Rey, and Poe. And Leia's remembering in the cockpit with Chewbacca, remembering Han Solo. And they're just kind of looking back on what's gone on in the last two movies. And
it was a clip show?
Pretty much. But Poe tells a story about how they
100th episode.
Yep.
Poe tells a story about how they got intel on Starkiller Base, because they have this ship that doesn't have any electronics or weapons, and it was carried by an X-Wing, and it kind of just like glided over Starkiller Base so it could run scans.
How's it run scans and no electronics?
I don't know. They didn't explain
force
that.
Magic.
Well, that force doesn't magic. Really work anyway, because gravity would still pull it down into the
Ewok
shield.
Power is the only thing possible. Yep.
Was the pilot Danny Bothans?
No, it was this black squadron who went to the Snap Wexley and all those people who were in Poe's squadron.
Interesting. Was it good?
It was good. I liked it. I mean, there's some cool moments at the beginning. Nine Num comes into the cockpit and Leia says, "You can take over the co-pilot seat here." And Chewie and Nine Num do a fist bump, and they show just the one panel of the fist bump. I thought it was cool. And so, if you want to know what happens after the last movie, there's where it is.
They have a clip show.
There's a clip show if you want. The greatest hits.
Remember that time when we did
it? If you want to, yeah, if you want to see them take on the battle at Maz Kanata's castle again. And that's all I got.
I'll go next.
Josh?
That's all she read.
Aquaman 36. So, this issue's a bit slow. Like, it's been pretty good, but this encounter with King Wrath is kind of dragging on a little bit. So, we have Merc and Aquaman begrudgingly teamed up to try and take down King Wrath. Merc is only agreeing to team up under the condition that, you know, Arthur's not going to try and become king again. Bless you. Because while Merc, you know, intentionally left him alive, he did feel that he was a bad king, that he was more concerned with the surface than Atlantis. So he didn't want to kill him, but he, you know, does recognize that Wrath is not the right ruler for Atlantis. So they're teamed up, but they didn't quite realize that Wrath had become as powerful as he has. So things don't go quite the way they had planned. It's good. Just this whole, you know, confronting him is dragging on a little bit. Bloodshot Salvation, number 9. This was all about Bloodhound, the origin of Bloodhound. It was a very sad book. We get to see this doctor who goes to the front lines of the war and has these new super soldiers he wants to test out and kind of show off, and it's this, you know, pack of dogs, all these different, like, bloodhounds. And things don't quite go as planned. And it's, you know, very sad origin for Bloodhound. But has a nice, like, sweet ending with, you know, with, like, jumping back to the monitor with him, him and Bloodshot.
Too. I read that, too. That was a really good
You read it? Okay, I wasn't sure if you were still reading or not.
Yeah, I've been off and on, but I read it. It was a really good, nice last page.
It was. That last page was great. Yeah,
it really tied it together for me.
But it was like whenever, you know, what happened to the doctor and the other dogs. And
yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Art was gorgeous.
Yeah, too. And this one, Ray Fox was actually on it with Jeff Lemire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What else we got here? Ninja K, number 7.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I didn't love the art on it. is one Jose Rip, and I like his art, but his art's very unique, and I don't know if it works as well on Ninjak book as some other books.
Okay.
But that aside, it was a cool issue where they're kind of putting together this, you know, team to go see what the heck's going on down in Mexico, because it looks like Mexico is putting together some sort of, you know, army of superpowered beings.
Yeah.
In retaliation for, like, what had happened with Mexico City, you know, way back when with the armor hunters and everything.
Okay, I didn't know what that was from, so.
Yeah, so when there was the armor hunters event, Ginger was one of the armor hunters, and Ginger actually destroyed Mexico City, like, leveled it.
Okay.
So that's why everyone has kind of a problem with the robot.
Okay.
But, yeah,
Punk Mambo stuff.
The Punk Mambo stuff was cool. It was neat getting to see Dr. Mirage in there. Yeah, Punk Mambo is always fun. So the team it's Ninjak, Livewire, Punk Mambo, Dr. Mirage, and Ginger. I don't think I'm missing anyone, right? That's everyone, all of them.
Yeah, I think that's everyone. Yeah.
And then we get to see the bad guys, like the army they're putting together, is being led by Jonin from that first arc, and it even has one of the people we saw when the Divinity 3 Stalin verse.
Was that the stone name. Guy?
The one that, like, will... The body, like, decays and regenerates.
Yeah, okay.
Like, every day. Yeah. But it was neat. The way, like, Jonah took down Ginger was kind of cool. Like, opened up the portal, like, through the dead side, popped out on top of Ginger's head, cracked Ginger with that, like, crazy, you know, mace mm-hmm. hammer thing, okay, and then yeah. jumped back to the portal. But it's good. I think I like the first arc better. Just the feel of the first arc, it felt more like, you know...
It was almost like a spy, history.
Like history, espionage kind of thing. This feels more like a traditional, you know, superhero fare. But it's still good. I like seeing all these characters, the team-ups. So, it's neat.
What happened at the robot, like, Ginger at from EXO? You remember that?
That wasn't Ginger. That was a different robot.
That's what I said. It was like a different.
I think someone like they launched like the robot's head out somewhere or something, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought for something he was
I thought it got jacked up.
No, because if I remember right,
it was just
he
a head.
He talks to Exo to Arm at the end, or not Arm, but you know
Eric,
and he talks to him and tells him like where. I thought he told him where Ginger was, because he was trying to find his people, their people or something. I thought he survived.
I think maybe he said he knows one of his people.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he did survive, and he just went off to like,
go find...
I don't
remember what he went to go do.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I forget.
When you were talking about him, I thought about that, and I was like, I don't remember what happened to that character.
I forget, though. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Batman, number 47.
No, I read that.
Yeah,
I read
that.
So, this arc, kind of weird. Like, I did not care for how this arc started off, and every issue since then has gotten better and better. And this arc, this issue, I actually like quite a bit.
Trust the Tom.
Bruce Wayne is now, like, super out for blood. He's...
I thought he became the Punisher for a second, because he had, like, that vest on his skull.
He pretty much did. He's... Just
well,
shooting.
Love the parents going, oh, what's this ruckus? Let's go down this alley. It was just
he's shooting these cardboard cutouts of Batman and Catwoman from that timeline. And then Booster Gold manages to go back in time to the point in which right before Bruce's parents were killed, which ended up being the death that we all know in the alleyway.
Yeah.
Bruce ends up getting sucked, you know, through the time stream with him. And as he's trying to stop Booster from letting the death happen, then past Booster, who came and saved them in the first place, jumps there and realizes, like, oh, my plan must have worked because now you're trying to stop me from actually saving them to put things back the way it should go. And it was just good. It was, you know, I still stand by Booster. His personality is different than it was in that action story.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
But
he said this is going forward. He's got a Booster story coming.
Yeah. So, but this, it was good. It ended well. So just because one issue isn't great, don't give up. Keep buying more comics. Bring your money to Colin. He'll take it.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
No.
It's a metaphor for life.
It's a metaphor for life. Yeah. Just keep plowing through. And
it's true.
Is there any, I think I'll save those other ones for you guys, because I'm sure you read them. All right, Pat.
The Superman special.
That's one that I saved for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It was the return to Dinosaur Island. What we find out is after they kind of get settled in their new place in Metropolis, John brings up that, hey, remember the guy that saved us? We said we would save him.
He's
so.
Like, I forgot something. So
yeah, it's like, you know, not like you forgot to forward the mail.
John's just had, like, this prosthetic limb sitting there on his shelf for, you know, a few weeks.
Yeah. Why do they have that leg there? That's right.
What's his name?
Captain Storm, that's right, yeah. So him and Clark go back to help rescue Captain Storm.
John almost got himself locked out of the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
Permanently. For shenanigans with Damian.
It's like, don't do that ever again.
Yeah.
You're grounded.
Don't make me change the lock on the fortress.
Which is like a...
It's a really big lock.
Dwarf star.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like two
what
people.
What are you going to replace it with? Yeah. Like another one?
Just, yeah, who do you get? Like, what kind of a locksmith can come in and change that lock?
Yeah. Superman will figure it out, I guess.
But, so they go back, and Dinosaur Island is quite different than how it was when they left.
Now it's dinosaurs and zombies.
Yeah, and when you get bit, you kind of turn into a partial lizard person?
Zombie.
Dinosaur zombies?
Zombiesaurus, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Zombiesaurus Rex.
Did he say if he got bit?
But they're like part dinosaur, part human zombies.
Okay.
But what was really weird about it was the leg that had been cut off.
Yeah.
Was the one that turned into like the it was more like a lizard leg.
It was a straight dinosaur leg, yeah.
Yeah. So
he had talons and everything.
Yeah.
But somehow it fit into the boot, no problem.
Yeah.
Maybe it was uncomfortable.
It was the right
size. He was like, I gotta, you know. That's what I never understood in Die Hard, where he bitches about the terrorist has his feet smaller than his sister. I'd just wear the shoes anyway. Like, how long are you going to be dealing with this?
Maybe they wouldn't fit.
Oh, you'd make them fit.
I don't know if you... leather, you're not going to stretch
that
far.
You get an Edgar Man, that's serious business.
Yeah, as opposed to all the glass in your feet.
You pick that glass out.
It's almost like having a piece of glass.
Oh, I know, but...
It sucks.
So they bring him back, and he... Captain Storm goes off to notify the families of his comrades, which, I mean, at this point, it has to be their grandchildren.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know,
he's not notifying, he's delivering their dog
their
tags,
dog,
yeah.
Right. Well, it's still notification.
But no, yeah. But like...
Yeah, they know that...
Yeah, he's trying to
say, hey,
return
here's
them
what
home.
Actually happened.
Home, yeah. Like, to him, like, that's him bringing them home.
Yeah. So, you know, he was doing that, and, There's a cool moment where he's walking with John and Clark, and like, you know, you're basically telling me who you are and all that. I just thought that was kind of cool that, you know, there was that level of trust.
Who's he gonna tell?
Man, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Who's he gonna call?
Who's he gonna call?
Which Ghostbusters?
Whoa, Ghostbusters!
They're just gonna tell Winston.
Just Winston.
Just Winston.
Jake and Eddie. Tracy the Gorilla. GB.
Oh.
The original Ghostbusters. Not that fake
not
knockoff.
The real Ghostbusters.
That's right, yes. I forget what happened in the backups.
Well, there was the one where Clark was like almost depowered, like he was exhausted. Got back from a mission in space,
that's right, yeah.
And then had to deal with the giant lobster thing. Colin's showing Adam's on his phone. It's nice, apparently.
It is. Nice.
He couldn't use his X-ray vision, so he had to try and go from room to room to try and get people out of the building, and couldn't save the guys. I have one problem with this issue. With that backup story, the old man wanted to go back and save all his pictures because it was all he had of his wife and memories, and he's starting to lose his mind, and he didn't want to forget those things. So Clark's like goes back into the building to save the pictures, but then notices a dog in one of the apartments, so he goes and saves the dog instead. He couldn't save the pictures and the dog, so he saved the dog. Good choice. Building collapses. He couldn't get out in time. So he's almost depowered at this point.
Yeah.
They get him out of the rubble. What's that?
I had a problem with something.
So they get him out of the rubble. The dog's safe. Apologizes he couldn't save the pictures. So he gives the old man the dog. But the dog belonged to someone. It was in someone's apartment. So you essentially just gave someone else's dog to this old man as a consolation prize.
I have to say.
Meanwhile, that. Like some poor kid out there is probably like,
thanks,
Fido's
Mr.
dead. He's dead.
And he's living another life. So.
Yeah. Like, what the F, Clark? You can't do that.
Because that apartment was like
go to a shelter, get the dog
or whatever.
Get the guy a dog from a shelter or somewhere.
Like, why did he just assume that they're dead? Here, you must take care of this dog now.
Because if you're assuming they're dead, that means you're assuming that you failed.
Yeah.
Because if it's between the dog and the humans,
he's like, can you take care of this? And the guy's like, I guess. Because he didn't even want to take care.
There's four humans in here, one dog. I'll just get the dog. It'll be easier.
I think he was just at the point where he was like, I'm going home. This day sucks.
The guy had dementia. He's like, it's my wife.
Well, and that's the other thing. Why are you giving him, like, he has dementia. He can't take care of himself. Why are you giving him another life to take care of?
Maybe he thinks that having the dog there will keep his mind active and will help stave off some of his issues.
Or he just royally screwed up.
Yeah.
He didn't get the pictures. He's like, whatever, dog.
He's like, I am tired. Look, I don't want to find the owners of this dog. 30
minutes ago.
Can I just say he never did anything about the lobster either? He just kind of left it in the middle of the street.
But it just like disappeared. Away. It just
walked off. Yeah. It was like, bang. Just walked back to the ocean. Everybody was willing to kill it, too.
I will say this. The art in this issue, that story, kind of threw me off. Because it was Kari Andrews.
Yeah.
Who's been doing, like, on Action, did these incredible covers. Like, really detailed, almost like painted covers. And the art in this story was pretty simple, almost. Like, it felt like a completely different artist. In some areas, it almost didn't fit.
He did a run on Iron Fist that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell that was his art.
Yeah, it was him. And then, what was the other story, Adam?
Yeah, because there was three in there.
Yeah.
There's the depowered Superman, Dinosaur Island Superman.
I don't remember.
Colin?
I didn't read it.
What?
Sorry, I didn't
touch it. You didn't read it? Jeez.
Well, yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
There were three Superman stories. This is me filling time while I look. I click on a link. It's not loading properly.
What else you read, Pat?
Well, and the other thing I read was The Punisher. No.
Okay.
So he still has War Machine's armor, and Nick Fury wants him to give it up, but, you know, he's kind of like, well, you know, it's got an arsenal, so screw that. But that causes Captain Marvel to show up to basically get it off of him. And I had a real problem with this, because the Punisher doesn't typically, like, the continuity in the Punisher books kind of stays away from the main Marvel continuity, which is why I liked it. But it was talking about he joined Hydra, and which I guess is all stuff from Secret Empire. Or, not Secret Empire, whatever the last event was. Was it Civil War II?
It was Secret Empire.
Where he became like an assassin for Hydra. And, you know, she was pissy because it was Rhodey's armor, and so I didn't like that part of it, because it's like, you never get into the main Marvel continuity with the Punisher. I didn't read that story. I don't know what's going on here. Like, I had a vague idea from listening to the podcast, you know, you guys talk about it, but I had no idea from reading it. So it really wouldn't have made sense unless you were reading all that stuff. And it wasn't even like there was no editor's note that said, you know, see Secret Empire.
Another example we were talking about before of the tie-in, and that ruined your enjoyment of the book.
But it was actually the opposite, where after the event, it references something that happened in the event.
Right.
Like, okay. Normally they would do those little footnotes.
Well, that would have been nice. I'm saying, editors, that's what they're talking about.
Marvel anymore. I don't know why that's dumb. They can't fit them on their pages.
DC does them a lot.
Yeah, a lot. They're really helpful.
Yeah.
Well, I've often said that. I was at a panel, this is Wizard World Philly years ago. Somebody asked that, and they said, because it pulls you out of the story. I'm like, really?
For like a second? Yeah.
And then my thought is, and then as I opened the store, it would be great to see as seen in and let them direct them towards that.
Right,
so I don't really think it pulls them out of this.
Well, like if you picked up the Superman special,
They did it to tell you
what issues is 8 and 9.
Yes.
And then let's say you just picked up that special but didn't read Rebirth, and you were like,
I'll go pick up issue 8.
Pick up 8 and 9.
Or better yet, the trade.
And maybe continue the rest of the series.
Yeah.
So,
yeah
kind of dumb.
It was the Atomic Skull story.
Oh, that's right, where he joined the police. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. He didn't trust Superman, but had to kind of team up with him, work with him.
Yeah.
It was good.
I liked it. I liked when he was like waking up to do his day, and he's just
Atomic Skull in his PJs. Yeah.
Mm. I was like, I could read a book dealing with like the adventures of the Atomic Skull and just doing a day job. Why not?
I could read a one shot.
Give it to Mark Russell.
Then I'll read the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets fired from the police force. Now he's a janitor somewhere.
Yeah.
In a high school of all places. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's a school janitor.
I like to see that at Riverdale High.
Yeah. You want to see? You want to see the Atomic Skull at Riverdale High?
Yeah. Right.
I don't think they'd allow that.
Him and Reggie are in a boiler room smoking weed.
There you go.
No, but it
writes itself.
Exactly.
I didn't read the Action Comics one.
That was good. That was really good.
Like, good.
The Action Comics one.
Yeah, I missed it. I don't know what happened.
What Action Comics one?
It was special.
It was special.
The Action Comics special.
Last week?
No. Like a week before.
I was going to say.
No, this one was last week.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to read
it. It was good. A lot of very good Superman stories in the past month.
I hope that continues.
Except for a couple written by him.
Yeah. We'll lighten up.
He's not wrong. Next week. Yeah, we'll find out how the actual thing is next week.
I hope they're good. So far, not so much.
But that's really putting your eggs in one basket.
We'll see.
We'll see Man of Steel number one on sale next week.
Hey, you're giving away podcast gold.
Lost Pods on.
Like podcast bronze.
Yeah. So that's all I read.
Aluminium.
Is that all you read?
We did talk about, yeah.
Unobtainium.
Read Avengers number 2.
I read that too.
And I really liked issue 1. Number 2.
Was it number 2?
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. It just. I have a problem with a few things with this book. And I was talking to Colin a little bit about it, you know, on and off. They had a free comic book day issue of this book, which kind of told you who the bad guy really is, and that was the free comic book day issue, which I thought it was kind of dumb to have the bad guy, you know, mentioned in there, which I'm just going to say, it was Loki. It's Loki. And, yeah, it's Loki. Spoiler alert, Loki.
Bye, Josh.
But he,
Oh, you pissed him off.
So they brought him into it, and, the thing about this issue is it was just kind of rehashing the fact that Loki is the bad guy. So after reading the free comic book day issue, it didn't really give us anything new.
You just got to pay for a rehash of the free comic book day issue?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, it was basically this issue dealt with Loki kind of narrating in the background that he was basically the best Avenger. Because he set them up to begin with. If it wasn't for him, this wouldn't happen, blah, blah, blah. So I guess he's really just trying to start up. I don't know what his plan is, to tell you the truth. Because it seems like it's just destruction, because he woke up these new Celestials, and, you know, he's doing whatever. And, I'm not really sure about that plan of it. But also his plan was to bring up new Avengers, so...
Yeah, I don't know.
So this issue I didn't really care for. Like, the first issue I thought was really decent. And I'm hoping it, you know, after this, they move on from the whole Loki thing and we move on with more of a story. But, I like the team. The only character I don't really like on the team is this new Ghost Rider. Because I think... I just don't get him.
Is it Robbie Reyes?
When he keeps arguing with his car, I'm confused what's going
Everybody
on.
Everybody else... one thing we didn't see in this issue at all is
the car sentient?
I read something. Now, this wasn't made clear at all in the book, but I read something that the spirit of his uncle inhabits the car, and he was like a serial killer or something.
That's
but
weird.
They didn't explain that at all, and they have to understand that most people don't know who this guy is.
Didn't read this.
Haven't read either of the 5-issue miniseries that his ongoings turned into.
Well, it's the Marvel way to make everybody just assume that everybody is reading your books. That's kind of, or watching your S.H.I.E.L.D. show, you know, but that's not the case. And if I'm trying to jump onto your new Avengers book, which Avengers hasn't been doing great for a while, maybe don't add cryptic things into it that I have to go and research, because I'm not doing a book report after this. No. But another thing we didn't see in this book this time was what the further adventures of Black Panther and Doctor Strange. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, it's because they're in outer space.
No,
sorry.
They're not in outer space. Oh, in their other books.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's dumb.
Both of them have gone to outer space.
Currently, he's not in the Avengers book. They're underground.
No.
Going and...
Then they'll be in outer space?
They were trying to figure out what was happening with that, with the Celestial.
Oh, okay. That's what I had said.
I want to know
put that in Tim's head and he can't get it out.
I want to know more about
Shuri?
The ones that are killing the old ones or whatever. I don't know. But I want to know more about that, and there's other things. So this needs a move. Like, it can't focus on what Free Comic Book Day was doing. So.
And speaking of books with large galactic beings attacking planets?
Yeah, so a better book was Justice League No Justice.
I saw what was on
your list. And it was... did you read ahead? I don't even want to talk about it.
No, it was good. Basically, it's
it was good.
At the end of issue one, Amanda Walker had... Waller had gotten a bunch of psychics together to try to figure out what was going on in Brainiac's head and what he was doing, why he gathered up all of the...
Just before you get the plan.
And gathered up all the heroes, and she does it in such a way that his head explodes at the end of issue one. So now you have, in issue two, all the heroes who have been brought together to do this grand plan that only Brainiac knew, trying to figure out what the heck they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
So...
It was a good issue, though.
It was. Issue 3 was really good, too.
Kind of explain more of the teams and what they're all about and what their, like, mission really is and figuring out. I love Starro. I think this new version of Starro fantastic is great. In
this, just this smug, like, snarky space star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just, giving him, like, more of a voice and, like, I don't know, something about it. It's just really cool.
Breaking news.
Because of all characters, you weren't expecting him to be joining up on their team, but. Since Metal, he's been kind of a cool character. But yeah, I'm excited to see where Justice League goes now, which I haven't been excited about Justice League because.
Are you so excited?
I'm so excited. And I just
can you
can't
hide
it?
You can't. You just.
I'm about to lose control.
I'll get over it.
But that's all I think that's all I read. Yeah, that's all
read,
I read.
Okay, I only have two more. Because
you talked about Venom last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I said it sucked.
Well, that's dumb, because you're wrong.
So I read red's a big word. I flipped through the X-Men wedding special.
Unless you're talking about the color, then it's three.
It's not a big word. It's only a few letters.
Yeah. But X-Men Wedding Special, there wasn't it didn't look like a lot to it. It was, the first story was Kitty kind of reminiscing over past loves and things. And there wasn't any wedding in it. It was two bachelor parties.
Bachelor parties?
Yeah, well, it was his and hers. Or bachelorette and bachelor, whatever.
So if they think they're, if Marvel thinks they're competing with, Batman with this
one. I don't know, but it's awful convenient.
But I'll tell you the truth. Yeah. I actually thought they were already married.
Okay.
I thought they'd been married.
No, because she only dates Peters. Because remember, she was dating Peter Quill.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, in the Starman book.
Colossus has one.
This is Peter. But, so yeah, I flipped through it, but I didn't see it. Oh, geez, come on. Welcome to the fifth grade. Come on, Adam.
What? You don't know what I was going to say. What was I going to say, y'all?
I know you are, but what am I? And then the other one that...
Oh, Wizard, we already went over that.
Is New Challengers. This is a little six-issue mini Snyder and another one of his writing class protégés. I thought it was good at basically setting up a new Challengers team. My one question on it is, there was a lot of build-up and team building in issue one for something that looks like it's going to be pretty short. But basically, all these people just kind of magically appear in this place. And it's funny because they, like, fall out of something, but they were smart enough to put a mattress down to catch them as they fell. So this is kind of their thing, is when whatever grabs these people, it puts them there. And just a bunch of different types of personalities, but all basically gathered at their time of death. And it's showing like the prior challengers, and that they,
oh, yeah,
because they died, they had a limited time allowed, and basically the more things they did, the shorter their lives will be, but the greater their, you know, heroism and everything. And it has one guy who, you know, is talking back to him and tries to get out, and he instantly dies, and then is added to this little thing of people.
Short-lived.
Yeah, it was. But it starts off with this guy trying to grab, like, this, it's like half a bone, like a leg bone, with engravings on it, and he's flying this plane trying to get a hold of this. Yeah, and then at the end, the guy who's talking to explaining to these people why they're there, looks like he has the other half of it.
Yeah.
So you don't really know who that guy was at the beginning. And so this was all just a lot of setup, and we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, it's odd just seeing there's not going to be a lot of there to go, knowing it's only going to be six issues, so it's going to be kind of in and out kind of quick.
It was good, though. I like the good setup and everything.
He's a comic book writer, too. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I saw that on his thing, but the actor thing really kind of threw me. I didn't know if it was aspiring comic book writer, but yeah. So that's all I read. I had a poor week, and I do apologize for that. And this one's not going to be much better because, as I realized, I had forgotten to tell people I need to post this. I'll probably post this either tonight or tomorrow. But the previews order is due on Thursday. It seems early.
Like tomorrow Thursday?
Like tomorrow Thursday, because it's due technically the last Friday of the month at 3 or 5 a.m. or whatever time it is. And technically this is the last Friday of the month. Well, that's not true. Yeah. This is the last Friday of the month because the following Friday will be June 1st. So that's why it seems like it's due a little early. I don't want to say it caught me unprepared because
Diamond. This whole month is kind of caught.
You know, Free Comic Book Day month is always confusing. I mean, May is always. It's always the same month. But because it was a five Wednesday month, it just seemed longer. I actually just went through it the first time yesterday. But so if there's anything you want, let me know. Or use the app. People are enjoying using the app. Or at least making use of it. Let me put it that way. I don't know how much enjoyment there is in it. But they're doing I'm getting orders daily, which I like it because I just have to click a button instead of going through and searching and finding and all that fun stuff. So, so the order due, we have book club on Friday. I have more copies coming in on Thursday. If you were late to the party,
it's actually a really quick read.
It is.
It was just a little five really issue. Yeah. But Star Wars Lando, that's what we're doing with the Han Solo movie opening on Friday as well. So I think that's about all we got. We got the constructions coming up. I don't really have any big plans for anything between now and then. No big Memorial Day plans. My plan is to grill. Yay.
You mentioned anything about the new
make meat. System. I guess that's one thing I should do, because it literally happened last week during the podcast. I had to walk away because we got the card system has now been integrated into Comic Hub, the new POS system. So you no longer need your cards. All of the points will be just automatically accumulated in the computer for you. There's still some little wrinkles and stuff to work out. But we'll get there. But, yeah, so we're moving away from the card. The cards were great. We had the cards for, what, I don't know, 7-8 years or so? Maybe not that long. It seems like a long time.
Yeah,
so they worked out well, but with the new system, I was able to get them to incorporate basically the exact same thing into the POS system, and it's not costing me a lot of money every month. So that works out well. I'm going to have to figure out what to do.
With like, all that extra money?
No, with the weekly emails. That's through Constant Contact, and that's through the card system people. So I'm probably going to lose all that, and hopefully not my Constant Contact contacts. I'll just have to export those. But so I think that's about all we got going on. That's about all that's going on in the store. Just general cleaning and organizing. And I'm trying to get a lot of back issues priced. That's what my focus is this summer on. is get those restocked because the back issue bins are, a lot of them are, you know, half full, three quarters full, and I have a full basement of stuff that can come up, and we just need to attack it. So if you see me standing at the table pricing, that's what I'm doing. I'm working on it. So,
where can I find you?
No, oh, we're not done yet. We're not done yet.
We're not there yet.
Slow your roll, Adam.
What's coming next week?
Pat has to ask it, or it's not valid.
He hasn't been here.
It's not my fault.
Sure. What's coming next week, Colin?
We have lots of good stuff coming out next week. First one is called 2021 Lost Children. This is a case where I think it's set in Detroit, and basically the town has been taken over by like a corporation who aren't doing things for the people.
It's OCP.
And these children have to take them on. We have this little book called Amazing Spider-Man 800. I have a couple copies of that coming.
That's not
gonna sell. Probably not. We have, I know Dave is really excited about this one. It's the Aquaman Jabberjaw special.
Oh, yes.
We also, now we're getting close. It's getting close. There's wedding bells are in the air. And it's not just Kitty and Peter. It's also Batman and Catwoman. So yeah, we have Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Robin versus Ra's al Ghul.
The wedding people are actually talking about.
We have Batwoman 15. I have my damage replacements are coming next week. Black Lightning, Hong Kong Fui. That's Adam's key book. We have a new one, Blackwood. This is coming from Dark Horse. My Cable damage replacements are also coming in. Doomsday Clock number 5. You guys didn't forget about it. They didn't forget about you. Doomsday Clock, and then Josh's favorite is Flash Speed Buggy Special. That's coming out next week, too.
I don't think I signed up for that one.
No, well, maybe you should. I love
maybe I won't, Colin.
I love these. We have The Formidables. I'm not sure what it is, but I have issue 1 and 2 coming next week. I love that. Thanks, guys. A couple of annuals. We have the Green Arrow Annual number 2 and the Green Lanterns Annual number 1. This one's for Josh. I know you signed up for this one. Harbinger Wars 2, number 1.
Oh, yeah, I signed up for that one.
We also have Infinity Countdown Captain Marvel. We have Judge Dredd Under Siege that I think Josh is going to want as well, because that's the one that's written by
Mark Russell.
Mark Russell.
Mark Russell Terrier.
We have Justice League No Justice number 4, the last issue, leading into all the new Justice League books. The Last Siege is a new one. This is from Image. I think it's... I'm not 100% sure, so I'm not going to say anything. And then we have another big one. Man of Steel number 1 is coming out next week. Start of Bendis' run on Batman, or on Superman. Pestilence, Story of Satan. I think Dave is up for this one, which I felt awkward when I think you ordered it. Just seemed wrong, but it's basically...
Got to know what the enemy is thinking.
Yes, Pestilence is...
It's not the enemy.
The
enemy. No, it's not.
Pestilence is a story of what if the Black Plague was actually the first zombie apocalypse, and this one is examining what the church did during that time.
Okay, hook me up with one of that. Okay. Actually sounds pretty cool.
Previews next week. Punisher damage replacements, if you didn't get it, all my shelf copies were damaged. Also have Quantum and Woody number 6. And I have Josh penciled in for that ultra foil variant.
Yeah.
Pat's got a little one coming called Stabbity Bunny. We also have Star Wars Lando, Double or Nothing. I'm going to talk over you. And then the one I'm looking forward to, the Super Sons Dino Mutt special.
More a cheese stick than a cheese steak. You know what I'm saying?
Another one for Josh. We have Valiant High number 1. I know you're very excited about that.
I don't think I set up for that one either.
That's a Valiant book. You have to.
Wasn't that digital thing years ago? First.
So what if the heroes, all the Valiant characters were in high school together?
It's like Clone High.
Yeah. But I'll peg this one at Dave, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be right on this one. Vampironica number 2, Dave? Okay.
Yes, please.
We Are Danger. This is one from Black Mask, a new one about these two... A new kid at school hooks up with another kid, and they get a band, and they go off looking for a record contract.
Good for them.
And then X-Men Red Annual number 1. So we've hit 4 issues. It's time for an annual.
They don't know how this works.
So
I don't know how comics work.
That is what we have coming next week.
Well, to be fair, most of their books don't make it to 12. So
they're estimating.
So, again, if there's anything you're looking for in the new previews, please let me know, and I'll happily order it for you.
So what's coming out next week, Colin? Where can I find you?
They can. It's the website's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is also Pittsburgh Comics. Instagram and Twitter are both PGH Comics. I'm going to start ramping that up, especially since I'm going to be pricing a lot of stuff. It'll be like, ooh, look at this cool book.
Try to bring stuff upstairs.
Yes, we will bring stuff upstairs and hopefully have less stuff go downstairs before it gets processed. So, and yeah, construction starting soon, so please don't be surprised if you show up and you're coming in a different door. But it is nice that we have the two doors, so we're not going to see any... You guys, we're not going to have any real disruption to business. So, God. Adam, since you haven't been here for a while.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.